From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Big Ten football. How are you doing today, David?
I'm doing so great. Never better. Wind in my sails, golden road before me, rolling hills beside me, sunshine above.
That's such so cheery. I love it.
Jeez.
So unlike you. That's awesome. No, we're happy. So we get to preview week 11. It's a short week. A bunch of teams are on bye. Take a little time off to lick their wounds and try to come back strong and finish the final few weeks of the regular season. So we'll preview six games for the Big Ten. For week 11. If you have questions or comments for the show, we got a few emails for this one, big10cast@gmail.com. You can also call or text us at 424-532-0678. Tweet us at B1G Podcast. And the most important thing, you listen on Spotify, you listen on Apple, leave us a five-star rating. We love that. That's awesome. It helps to grow the show. Let people know, hey, the show's pretty darn good, even though it's not, but you tell people it is.
You tell people that it is because then you have other people who are captive to us as well.
But the cool part is if you have the Apple Podcasting app, you can also leave a review. So it's sort of like you have multiple choice and now you have the essay part. The essay part is where you can get creative. Mm-hmm. Say something funny. Could we're pretty self-deprecating. You can trash us, whatever you want to do. But we're thankful that John and Brea has given us a bunch of Trader Joe's gift cards, $17 worth, or even some $31 gift cards too. And we will give each week the best reviews Trader Joe's gift card. So I know we got a bunch. We didn't get to read them on Monday because I had to go to a dentist appointment right afterwards. But we got, I think, seven, David?
We got a lot of reviews.
Okay. All right. We'll give a couple cards.
Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. This is from Punt Pass Pundit.
Oh.
Pundit. The art of doing just enough. The Podcast of Champions is a tribute to the art of doing just enough to keep us entertained. Mm. Ryan and David have mastered the art of podcasting mediocrity, serving up analysis with all the dedication of a seasonal mall Santa in July. David, the retired philosopher, and Ryan, the vacation professional, leave the heavy lifting to the legion of five-star review writers and witty voicemailers. It's a privilege to join the ranks of unpaid interns tasked with praising their, quote, unique brand of football insight. Cheers to the podcast that feels like a slightly unhinged therapy session. Keep up the lukewarm excellence, gentlemen. Also, don't worry, gents. I left the heavy lifting to my unpaid intern, ChatGPT, to craft this review.
Oh.
Beautiful. Love it.
That's a pretty good one.
This is from Amazon US something, something, something. It's dot, dot, dot because Apple's website sucks so hard. It's so bad. The UX on this thing. Good God. POC review. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. From a late arrival. Oh, God. This review is insanely long, and it's all one dense paragraph.
Oh, jeez. From
a late arrival to the POC as the Pac-12 was imploding, I was a newish Utah resident then, adjusting to life among LDSers being invaded by LGBTQIAQXYZZXYXers. Dave and Ryan seem to be the hosts who are at home navigating the Left Coast brand of football, undeniably knowledgeable, but sprinkling their podcast with LA, Vegas, Hawaii golf references, while mercilessly criticizing head coaches for not betting their seven-figure mortgages on the riskiest strategies the analytics of the hot moment dictate. Very Left Coast, cool, cool. I stuck with them through the Pac-12 implosion, though, sensing that they spoke microscopic nuggets of gold among the vast NCAA football podcasting flotsam. I was amazed at their chutzpah as they declared themselves not only Big Ten experts. I grew up in Illinois. There is no higher bar for Big Ten fans to grow up as an Illinois fan back then, but the home of the Big Ten with their local cough cough teams. Points for courage anyway. But my trust in their nuggets, was that a pun? Was it Freudian? Was it a potential felony? Paid off when Ryan, on the most recent preview show, opined that the Big Ten needs, quote, fewer trophies and more fighting mascots. Proving my suspicion that you guys were just posing as beta left coasters and are instead red meat eating, tooth and claw loving, Braveheart binging alpha males whose podcasting role is to shame the Big Ten 3 yards in a cloud of dust football posers back into their true heritage. Fans who could enjoy unwatchable football games their beloved teams lose in the fourth quarter, then go out and discuss to their front yards only to find their next door neighbor who roots for the team that just beat theirs, taunt him into a very profane and very public yelling match, and end up helping him realign the brakes on his classic Dodge Charger. Good times. That was like one sentence. Anyway, all you Big Ten football fan losers need to wise up and get on the alpha male struggle bus that is the POC podcast. Together, we can be the best mediocre we can possibly be, and that is not bad, but it is not good either.
Wow. Here, I'll give you a break. I got him pulled up too, because that was very long.
Yes.
AP underscore two exclamation point, whatever. This is a tip number two. How about a gift card for a starving student in college? My previous review had ultimately lost to, let's face it, a better one. I'm utilizing my other tactics, primarily guilt, to go on a shopping spree at Trader Joe's to a podcast as dangerously mediocre as this review. Cheers. P.S. When does the POC basketball edition drop? You had me until then. Now you're losing. You were going to get a sympathy gift card, but now you got it. Like, sometimes you say there's a few words too many. There's three words too many.
This is from Brew and Chris. If Congestion had a podcast, with faces fit for radio and voices for print, these two grown men, who sound like sinus infections with vocal cords, spend their days obsessing over the young men of the Big Ten in ways that should make all of us question what exactly we are doing here. Their preseason predictions are completely worthless, and the confidence with which they make them would be downright shameful were they capable of feeling shame. Sadly, these sociopaths' lack of character shines through as they literally bribe their listeners for five-star reviews like this one. What value does the POC have to offer? Only gift cards, occasionally. And yet somehow, some way, with the confidence of two mediocre white men bumbling over a very low bar, Ryan and Dave have the best Big Ten podcast I've listened to. They're also the only Big Ten podcast I've listened to because, unlike our hosts, I do feel shame. I'm a UCLA fan, after all. Go Bruins. Hashtag Cignetti kills.
I think
that's early contender.
Yeah, he's getting a gift card no matter what.
For sure. Brew and Chris, sign up for the gift card. Oh, all right. This is Pianos from Duck in DC.
Oh my God, this is long too.
Longtime listener, originally drawn to the POC and Peristyle pods to enjoy the Clay Helton years. I appreciate Dave's reverence for those years and Lincoln Riley's vision to allow to almost match Clay's record. From the heart of the Big Ten, Dave is now showing all of our new conference colleagues the joys of enduring SC arrogance even while their team softly surrenders games that their relegated former conference foes at Oregon State and Washington State could win. At least they're getting paid for losing to Minnesota and Maryland instead of enduring Larry Scott's small-dollar media rights while getting embarrassed in Corvallis and Pullman.
True.
Like Dave's much-appreciated failure to prep and prepare for each show, I have been too lazy to provide a well-deserved five-star rating. Yesterday's games and the anticipation for a Piano Fest podcast has pushed me over the edge. As a Duck fan, I'd like to suggest the Piano Awards be named after our former head coach, Mario Cristobal. His piano moments at Oregon are too numerous to mention and have almost all been repeated at Miami. Duck fans know Miami season will ultimately be derailed by a Cristobal piano moment. And yes, Lan Danning has had a few piano-like moments in his first couple of seasons. These three coaches got me to finally praise the POC in anticipation of Dave's glorious recognition of coaches hurting their teams. The baby grand for the week goes to James Franklin. With a chance to tie the game at the end of the fourth quarter after riding Tyler Warren down the field to the four-yard line, Warren was their only successful option at that point in the game. So does Franklin give the big tight end the ball three times to bully into the end zone? Ask SC fans what Penn State should have done at that moment, because Warren bullied them for an entire game. Franklin does not give the ball to Warren, instead runs the same play three times the small, less effective running back. Their fourth down play was clearly a one-option route to Warren that Ohio State snuffed out, leaving Aller to flail and fail as the game was lost. Franklin could barely speak to Ryan Day at the handshake as he was choking on a mouthful of piano keys. This is so long. I don't know where Jed Fish keeps all of his pianos, but he certainly earned another one last night. Though since USC couldn't take advantage of his blunder, maybe the piano is of the second-hand variety. Fish, with Will Rogers handing off to Jonah Coleman, are on the verge of running out the clock and denying the Trojans a final opportunity to score a game-winning touchdown. Fish calls a timeout at 3rd-and-1 rather than just pounding Coleman one more time against a tired Trojan D. Then he changes quarterbacks, putting in his freshman running quarterback despite the success that Coleman and Rogers were having gashing the Trojans. And he pulls a reverse down Dan Lanning, unknowingly putting 12 men on the field and costing the Dogs 5 yards. Coleman was 1 yard from the Dogs going into victory formation. Instead, Fish and the Dogs needed a goal line stand to turn away SC in the final seconds of the game.
Well, that we should we take a break here?
Yeah, please.
It's like, do you want to tap? Here, you tap out. I'll
yeah,
step
yeah.
out.
Okay. Please.
The third Piero situation of the week is a little different, but just as noteworthy. Have we had three coaches worthy of being struck by falling pianos in one weekend? Lincoln Riley must have been hit by his piano in game prep. Did he travel to Seattle under the weight of a piano, or did he find him before game time? Or did it find him before game time? In the wind and rain, Riley sprayed passes all over the field, resulted in a 20-7 halftime deficit. Jen Cohen clearly broke into the locker room at half and busted Riley out of his piano. Freed from her tenure in rainy, dreary, poorly financed Seattle, Cohen has embraced La La Land as she did her best Sandra Bullock screaming at Riley, "Run the dang ball!" She politely in pearls shared with Riley that Washington's rush defense was ranked below San Jose State, Tulsa, and Texas State. Riley gave her that $90 million buyout wink and followed orders and unleashed Woody Marks for 100 second half yards. So give Riley a pregame piano leading to another loss to a lesser talented team. The pain from the crystal ball era is brought back every time a piano falls from the sky, though I should add, as a former Pac-12 fan, it takes real patience to ride in the Big Ten with its reluctance to score and punt-friendly mentality. Dave, I hope I just added fuel to your coach rage fire for this episode. And Ryan, I owe you a 5-star rating for the pods at the Peristyle. Truly some of the best coverage out there when you aren't on vacation. Ben, Duck fan and WDC, a long way from the heart of the Big Ten.
Great review.
That might be the longest review.
But Ben, in the future... And this goes for everyone. If your review is over 400 words, you are killing us.
There's like chapters.
This thing was insane, but I do appreciate it. It was a good review. This is from Bateman 503. This is a normal sized review.
Oh, good.
A review of this podcast. Ryan and David purport to be knowledgeable analysts of American football, but really they're just two internet trolls with microphones. The only team they hate more than yours is the one they cover. I rated them 5 stars, however, because you can earn free swag, which is one of the two reasons to listen to this podcast. The other being for the amusing USC hate from David. Sko Ducks.
Nice.
That was pretty good. All right, this is from Fitbit Returned. Awesome Big Ten pod. Are you looking for a podcast that perfectly captures mediocrity? Then the Podcast of Champions has you covered. They managed to talk about Big Ten football with the enthusiasm of someone in line at the DMV. They've been studying Big Ten football for tens of days. They are the foremost experts, obviously. USC shows about as much effort in the fourth quarter as David puts into this podcast. Don't forget about your bookie, where the promo code is COP. My bookie, POC. That's right, cop, because these guys are narcs. They keep trying to put away the resident Stanford fan. Still waiting for the next ACC update from that guy. 5 stars for being consistently, gloriously average. Keep it mediocre and go Ducks.
Well, we got a lot of Ducks reviews.
A lot of Ducks reviews. Okay. A lot of Oregon reviews.
So I think Fitbit Returned
gets one.
Do you want to do Duck and DC, the super long one?
Or yeah, let's do Duck and DC for effort. Fitbit Returned and Bruin Chris.
Yeah. Oh, the first one, too.
The first one was good, too.
Punt, pass, pundit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So four people getting awards this week. Punt, pass, pundit, Bruin Chris, Duck in DC, and Fitbit Returned. Please send your emails to Ryan at USCfootball.com.
Yeah, Ryan at USCfootball.com. So I have, like, I think four.
Addresses, I mean, two of those.
Yes. I need snail mail. Put your full name so I don't send it to Bruin Chris or whatever, so I have to write it on an actual envelope. Like the old school. I don't know if David's ever done that before, but you have to do that.
Not in many years.
I might need more stamps. I still have a few more to send out from the last batch, so I will.
How much do those cost these days? Like $7 a stamp?
I think it's like 60 cents or something, or 65 cents. I just buy their forever stamps. They don't say the names on it anymore, so I don't know. I just go to the machine and buy a bunch of stamps. So, okay. Last week, we both went 5-3. Overall, our records picking against the spread, and that's what we're going to do again today. 51-43-1 for me, and 47-47-1 for Dave. He's back to 500. Do you want to follow along with us? Do you want to fade us? Whatever you want to do. If you want to get in on the action, listen to our picks, do the opposite, follow what we do. Do what you want. You can do it over at MyBookie. Go check it out. You can do exactly what we do if you want to just pick the winner of the games with the point spread. You can do over-unders. You can do first half. second half. There's all kinds of things you can do over there. In-game stuff is fun. If you're really watching the game and you think like Oregon came out to a big lead, you're like, I think they're going to take their foot off the gas. I think Dylan Gabriel's going to point shave a little bit. I'm going to like take Purdue in the second half, whatever you want to do, or whoever they're playing this week. Who are they playing this week? It's like Maryland.
Purdue?
No, Oregon.
Oregon. Oh, Oregon's playing Maryland.
Maryland, yeah. You want to like take Maryland plus 20 in the second half or something? You can do all that over at MyBookie. If it's your first time going over there, you can use the promo code POC, or you can use the Oregon Pac-12. That'll work too. But POC will get you a 100% deposit match. So if you put $100 in, it'll turn into $200. And then you can have even more fun and more money to bet with for week 11. And whatever you want to do, you like the NFL, you can do all of that over at MyBookie. We like to say you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at MyBookie.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. Well, we got only six games?
Only six games to cover.
Okay. So should I do the bye weeks first?
We can do let's do the bye weeks first.
Who's on a bye? Let's see. Who's on a bye? In no particular order.
USC Trojans.
We had some breaking news. Jaden Baiava is going to start for Miller Moss, David.
Yep.
More mobile.
That felt like a foregone conclusion at some point because as much as you would say Miller Moss has not been quote unquote bad, the offense hasn't gone well. And yes, when the offense doesn't go well, you either fire yourself or you fire your quarterback, and they're firing the quarterback. So Jaden Baiava is more mobile. That might erase some of the mistakes that Lincoln Riley continues to make in play calling.
That's funny. You almost said Clay Helton there.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That wasn't even intentional.
Also on a bye.
Northwestern Wildcats.
Such a good one. Okay. Also on a bye.
Wisconsin Badgers.
Very much needing a bye.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
A little note about them. I was in the press box last week because I actually attended that game. The Nebraska players and coaches, after that game, they play their interviews in the press box, like on the TV. They all like uniformly sounded beaten. You're not kidding. Like I think they needed a bye.
Yeah.
Like they just sounded super down in the dumps.
It was weird because you get blown out and then, was it Indiana blew them out or whatever? And then come back and like play Ohio State tough, then lose at home to UCLA. Like it's sort of like that's like a broken team right now.
Yeah, so a little bit broken.
They need to get things right. All right. Team that needs to try to get on the winning ways, maybe after the bye week.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
And then former Pac-12 coach, he's on a bye.
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
All right, well, let's get to, we got a Friday game again. Let's start off with
Iowa Hawkeyes.
They're going to be on the road. Hey, and you know where this is in Los Angeles. I don't know if you knew this. They don't play in Los Angeles.
They're in L.A.
They play in the Rose Bowl, but they are in L.A. Taking on
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
A little side note. UCLA football is playing concurrent with their basketball team, which plays at 8 p.m. in Nevada, in Henderson, Nevada. And UCLA will be playing at 6 p.m. This is Friday night at 6 p.m. on Big Fox. Iowa traveling to UCLA. UCLA is a 6.5-point home dog against the Hawkeyes. So there's two theories of the case with UCLA. One is they're improving a lot. They're surging up. They're looking a lot better. And then there's the other, which is they've faced, essentially, as we just talked about Nebraska, two semi-broken teams in a row. Rutgers being the first, which is broken in a physical way. Nebraska, which may have been a little bit broken in a mental way. I think there's validity to both. I think UCLA has improved significantly. I do think Ethan Garber's, his play the last 2 weeks, looks like, I think, a little bit more the guy I was expecting him to be to start the season, not making those kind of what I would call quote-unquote freshman errors.
Yeah.
He seems to have gotten a full grasp of how this offense actually plays in a game. Eric Bieniemy's done a much better job scheming of late. So I do think there's real improvement that UCLA has put out there. But they did beat two teams that are somewhat broken. Iowa is not broken. Iowa has 100%ed the last two teams they've played, meaning they have beat them with absolutely zero doubt in the post-game win expectancy. They were 100% to win each of those. Blew out Northwestern, blew out Wisconsin. They may have figured some things out offensively with Brendan Sullivan, who provides a little bit of a running threat at quarterback. And Caleb Johnson is, with Kyle Manungai not being totally healthy this year and also being part of a Rutgers team that's kind of falling apart, Caleb Johnson's probably the best running back in the league, at least from like a usage standpoint and what he has to do for his team every week. But here's the thing. Iowa's defense gets talked about as, oh, it's Iowa's defense. They're really good.
They're not that good.
They're not that good this year.
No.
And UCLA's offense has shown some things. I think their short passing game, and then they're looking more like a true West Coast offense where they're going to be passing the ball 70, 80% of the time. But they're doing it in such a way that it manipulates a defense in the same way a good running game does. So with all of that, it's a Friday night game for Iowa, traveling a couple of time zones west. It's a 6.5-point game, which I don't love that number for them. So I'm going to take UCLA.
Ooh.
They cover everything. I'm going to buy a little bit of the surge for UCLA.
Okay.
And I think they're going to score enough to keep pace and maybe even win this one.
Wow. Okay. I love it. I've been going against you on the UCLA picks and doing very well with that. I was leaning towards Iowa. I'll definitely take Iowa now. But the problem is UCLA does cover. I told you last week.
They cover, right? Baby.
They cover. You were like, they were getting 6 points at Nebraska. I'm like, they cover. They like won it. Like, should have won it going away. I do think they did figure something out with Sullivan. And normally you look at 6.5 points for Iowa. You're like, that's three scores. Like, there's no way you're going to beat a team by three scores. But this team actually scores touchdowns. We had a couple comments. Matthew in the chat, this is to your point. He says, I fear Iowa has depleted their strategic point reserves. They're a non-renewable resource out there.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think they can score. I mean, they're not a quote-unquote good offense, and not by any stretch of the imagination would you call them a good offense, but they're not Iowa bad. They're not the absolute mess of a team they've been the last couple of years. Caleb Johnson's really good. The thing is, UCLA has been a pretty decent rush defense, especially of late. So we'll see. We'll see which way that one breaks.
I think there's one thing. I think UCLA, and you got to give Sean Foster credit. Like, they were taking advantage of some teams that were bad. And to go into Nebraska when they just played tough against Ohio State, you think they could be surging back. He's done a good job. I think it's harder for like a rookie coach to go against a super veteran coach who's like can figure this, like all the stuff that's like what makes sense.
Are you saying Kirk Ferentz knows the score and he gets the women?
No.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Because Kirk Ferentz, like the only.
But he kills like rookie coaches.
Yeah. I would say what he does at a supreme level is he coaches. I mean, that defense is just pure culture at this point. Like it's sound, you know, they'll tackle well. The one area where Iowa is kind of an Iowa defense is in the red zone. They don't allow scores. Like, it's field goal and you're not scoring a touchdown really easily on them. But like, as a game management standpoint, Kirk, no, he's going to punt in every situation where a punt could even slightly be asked for.
Yeah. But it's still like, it's like Bill Belichick when he would go against rookie quarterbacks. Like, he just knows what to do. And I feel like he could eat a rookie head coach's lunch.
You know? I mean, I think there could be some of that. I do think Deshaun Foster, like, my read on him is that, look, I still have no idea if he's going to work out long term, but he is improving in his comfort level.
That's good.
As a head coach. Like, even just this week, he sounded way more confident just talking about the other team, his team, all these different things. And, you know, you're grasping at straws when, you know, the team is 3-5 and it looked, you know, pretty rough at the beginning of the year. But I am seeing signs that he's growing into it a little bit. So we'll see what this looks like on Friday. It's homecoming for UCLA. They're going to be wearing throwback uniforms.
Oh, Mark says, how many Hawkeye fans are going to be in the Rose Bowl?
It's going to be a lot.
Okay.
I think it'd be more if it was a Saturday. I think Friday will make it a little bit.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
A little bit harder for travel. But I think it'll be a lot. I think it'll be many thousands. But still, this is a I think it'll be a – UCLA will have the side of emotion in this one, I think, because it is homecoming. Throwback uniforms. They'll want to play well, all that kind of crap.
Yeah. Weather's not terrible in Iowa City. It's like 59 degrees, 60 degrees in that range. So it's not like – it's freezing cold. And they need to get the hell out of there. So I don't know. We'll see. It's Friday night. That's true. It's like a little bit different.
Yep.
One quick before we get into the Saturday games, El Gordo, we have to apologize again. Well, David should. He's like, how was lunch?
We didn't go. I had to cover UCLA basketball this morning. So it prevented me from being here in time to do lunch.
Normally I would chastise him for that, but UCLA is a basketball school. You have to do those things. So I get it.
I will leap across this table, sir.
Yeah. I can't believe they're like trying to screw the basketball team over by putting a football game when the basketball team is playing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's ridiculous.
Okay. Let's go to Saturday. We got a couple of morning games. Man, this should be really good. We have
Purdue Boilermakers.
It's Big Noon Kickoff, so these games are always amazing matchups, super good. They're going to take on number two,
the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Okay, 9 a.m. on Big Fox, Purdue. I think they're 1-7 now, 1-8.
How is this
like
a Big Noon game?
I don't know.
Why is this a Big Noon
game? Because the schedule kind of sucks this week. They're traveling to number two, Ohio State. Ohio State's a 38-point favorite. 38 points.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you just gave me this like neutral field, like this is just and no pretext, like nothing happened the week before, nothing's happening the week after, I would take Ohio State minus 38. Problem is they're coming off, you know, a game that they had to be highly attuned and highly prepared for, you know, that big clash with Penn State. Is there an element where they've got a little bit of a hangover effect?
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly want to take Ohio State, but it's just so many damn points.
It is. I mean, are you going to take?
Yeah, I'll take Purdue.
I'm going to do this too. So Ohio State's kind of like, it's just, they're so weird. They're 7-1, but 500 against the spread. Purdue, we saw them score 49 points 1 week. And then Oregon, I think they were coming off the Ohio State win. So hangover in West Lafayette. And Purdue pitches a nothing burger. They score a single freaking point, and Oregon ends up covering that game. Now, this is more points than that. This is 38. It's on the road. So it should even be worse than that, right? But just what I've seen from Ohio State, I don't know. Like, man, like, can they do it? Like, they were favored by 37 over Western Michigan, and they won 56-0. They were favored by 40 over Marshall, and they won 49-14. I
don't know. I'm now like wishy washy because Purdue's so bad.
Yeah. Let me see what Purdue is. Hold on. I guess
there should be no line on this game. Like it should be like an FCS game.
Yeah. Let's see. Covers Purdue. Oh, this is fucking the basketball team.
Why? All right, so they lost by 59 to Notre Dame at one point. They lost by 46 to Wisconsin, and they lost 35-0 to Oregon.
Okay, they are
at home.
1-7 at home. They're 2-6 against the spread.
Give me Purdue. Yeah, I mean, give me Ohio State.
Let's switch. Yeah, sorry. Screw this.
I'm not gonna sit here hoping that Purdue covers. Not doing it.
I think the one time I picked against them though is when they scored the 49 and they didn't. So I think that's what's stuck in my head.
Yeah, Ohio State.
They've only covered two spreads. So.
Yeah, I'm not doing this. I'd rather be mad at Chip Kelly than mad that he's doing well.
Yeah, but this is not going to be a game. Obviously, this is just going to be a murder stomp, and that's where we go. All right, we got
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
And they're on the road taking on
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
the 9 a.m. game you should be watching on NBC. Minnesota traveling to Rutgers. Rutgers is a 6-point home dog. We need to just reckon with the idea that Minnesota's just good. Not great, but good. And they're good kind of across the board. You know, it's a good defense. It's a good offense. Not great, but good. Rutgers remains pretty broken. And they had a bye last week, correct?
Rutgers was on a bye, yes.
Yeah. So they've had a moment to like kind of lick their wounds, hopefully get a little bit healthier. I'm expecting Kyle Menungai will look a little bit better than he looked last time we saw him, where he's getting kind of dinged up constantly. But at the same time, I think Rutgers, like some of their health issues are just not going to get fixed this year. They've had a lot of season enders.
There's a lot of dudes out in a lot of key spots.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm like, should Minnesota have, you know, should they be favored by 6? But then I'm thinking about it and I'm like, on a neutral field, I'm taking Minnesota 10 times out of 10. So why not have them covered by a touchdown? So yeah, give me Minnesota.
I'm doing the same. I mean, I think this line could be like 13.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it could be something like that. Minnesota looks good. I think we had them number 5. We have them number 6 now in the power rankings just because they've been winning and doing a good job. And to go last week, go to a ranked team, you know, they beat Illinois on the road. Like, Rutgers is broken. Like, if you think Minnesota can go to Illinois and win by a point or a 6 or whatever it is, I mean, I think they can do that, you know, tenfold against Rutgers. Rutgers just seems broken right now. We'll see. Now, the bye week, hopefully it helps. But like you said, there's a bunch of season enders. But the key is, like, you know, Kyle Menungai, when he's every other series, he's getting out of the game. And I think he left the USC game in like the third quarter.
Yeah.
And so that's tough because he's sort of, you know, he's the bell cow. He's the guy that you're going to rely on. So maybe he's healthy, which will help. But there's so many dudes that were out. I think it's going to be tough. And Minnesota looks like they're playing good. So PJ Flex got them rolling in the right direction. And I think they'll cover this one fairly easily.
Yeah. And then they get a bye and then they get Penn State at home.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, Minnesota's had a few games that were like, yeah, maybe a couple that you got a little lucky, but some bad breaks late. And
their one bad game was Iowa, where they got, you know, semi killed at home by 17.
But that North Carolina game early.
They missed a field goal to win it.
Yeah, they missed. Did they miss 3 in that game?
They missed one at the end to win it.
Yeah. All right. Next up, this is the only game in the afternoon. We got
Michigan Wolverines.
Scratch, 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 scratch.
And they're on the road. These are usually pretty easy games when they're on the schedule. Number 8.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
All right. There's something I don't understand about this game, which we'll get to in about 4 seconds. This is 12:30 on CBS. Michigan traveling to number 8, Indiana. Indiana's only a 14-point favorite. What do we know about Kurt Cignetti, Ryan?
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
What is Indiana against the spread this year? Have you looked that up?
I'll look at this up. But hold on. But 14 points. Do you think that's... What do you think about that?
God has mercy.
Cignetti.
Don't.
Cignetti kills.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Until he stops murdering teams, I'm not going to pick a team to not be murdered.
I don't know if you knew about this one.
He was given an offer he couldn't refuse. He knows the score. He gets the women. And he kills the bad guys. Cignetti kills.
Oh, they're 8-1 against the spread.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's no way. I don't care if this was 100. But yeah, I'm going to roll with it until I lose. You know, like,
Curtis Rourke looked so good last week in his first game back from the thumb injury. Their runs game's been decent. They're still, I think, number 1 or number 2 as far as offensive efficiency nationally. Their defense is good. It's not great, but it's like top 25, easy. They're just a really damn good team, and Michigan is fundamentally flawed in some ways. And yes, I will still say Sharon Moore is trying, and they will try some stuff in this game. But their quarterback situation is a mess. And defensively, they are not as strong as they've been in years past. Indiana's going to score 30-plus again, and Michigan's going to score under 17. Done. Yeah. Game over.
I mean, I was 14 points. You know, it seems like a lot for a spread, but then I was remembering.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
And I was like, wow, but two touchdowns in a – Indiana's not, but they were 3-9 last year. And then
– He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Okay. All right. Don't let a piano hit our heads. We're definitely both taking Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see Indiana when they play a truly elite team against Ohio State next game, right? And that'll be maybe something we have to think about a little bit more. But he's killing good teams, like these decent teams that are in the middle of the pack. He's killing them. Michigan's one of them. Going to kill them.
Yeah.
Again.
Death.
Murder, death, kill.
I predict pain. Yes. So if you're going to my bookie, this is the one to make. Like if you followed any of our picks, we just keep picking Indiana each week and it keeps covering. I think the spread is a little better. Like some of the other spreads, even last week's were like, are you kidding me? Like what? Like it was, what was the spread last week? It was 8 points, Michigan State. You're like, come on, dude. It's like,
yeah, no, they won that one by 37 points.
They beat one team by 7 touchdowns, you know? So like you got to build these spreads up a little bit. Michigan's a brand name. They've got it to 2 touchdowns. And yes, like some weird things can happen. There could be some turnovers. That one game Indiana had 3 turnovers in the first half, but they still cover in the second.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we know.
He knows the score. He gets the women. Signetti kills.
Yeah.
Signetti
good stuff.
Kills.
Let's go to our late, we can call them late afternoon. The rest of the country, it's evening games. These are our late afternoon games. We have, where is it?
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap, 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 snap.
There's some road trips that are tough, and there's some that are like, holy shit. Number one,
Oregon Ducks.
4 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, Maryland traveling to number one, Oregon. Oregon is a 25-point favorite. When last we saw Maryland, they were getting blown out. They've been blown out horribly in 2 of the last 3 games, the other one being that very strange and very fun game where they beat USC at home.
Oh, 29-28, yeah.
Yep.
It's the only game they showed a pulse.
But otherwise, they've been murdered. Oregon, I mean, they ended up covering. They didn't play a dominant game, but they looked pretty good still. They ended up covering last week against Michigan. Have been kind of murdering teams of late. And I think they're going to slaughter Maryland. I think it's going to be like a 38-point win. So give me the Ducks.
Yeah. So Oregon I've been burned with a lot. Like when I think they're going to cover a big spread, they don't. And then I'm like, oh, you know, like the Purdue game and even last week. And I'll take all those points and it doesn't work. They've been covering as of late. And they're 5-4 overall against the spread. So that's a pretty good sign. There's been a lot of big spreads, and early on they were not playing as well, but lately they have been. Maryland's 3-5 against the spread. We've seen them get murder stomped. So I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to take the Ducks here. Like, I would think you could swap these, like the 38 points you could have used for this one. Now, can Oregon play with its food some and, you know, not be, I don't know. We'll see. There was a big win on the road against Michigan. But I think they could probably put it in cruise control and win by 4 touchdowns against Maryland at home. So this one seems like a pretty low spread for me. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think Maryland is like straight bad. I think there's still, you know, an outside chance they, what are they right now? 4-4. I guess an outside chance they could make a bowl if they sweep Rutgers and Iowa at home. I would say it's very outside. I think most likely they're finishing 5-7. But like if you look at the teams they've beat, I mean, it's USC, which was kind of a, well, just a very funny football game. But it's Villanova, kind of mediocre Virginia team, and then UConn. I mean, they lost to Michigan State at home. They, despite getting 3 kind of gift turnovers in the first half, lost by 14 to Indiana. And then got blown out by Northwestern and Minnesota. They're not very good. And Oregon is an elite team.
Yeah.
Oregon should kill them.
I think just because the playoff rankings came out and Oregon's number one, and you want to keep that. So that might get their attention a little bit. But I feel like even if we got some Dylan Gabriel point shaving going on, which he hasn't been doing the last couple of weeks, I mean, they even punched that one in at the end of last week, which pissed me off, but scored a garbage touchdown to cover, which seemed that was not what they were doing before. They were throwing picks and stuff. But I feel like this one you could kind of sleepwalk through and win by four touchdowns. But I think there's going to be motivation because the rankings just came out. Oregon's number one. You want to make a statement. So I think this could be just not a pretty game to watch. So watch this for an hour. It's 28-0, end of the first quarter. Then you can flip over to Peacock to check out
Washington Huskies.
Coming off their win, they're on the road taking on number six,
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr. Can you, while I'm going to read off this stuff, can you just look up Washington? Can you look up Penn State against the spread this year?
I will do that for you.
All right. 5 p.m. on Peacock, Washington traveling to number six, Penn State. Penn State is a 14-point home favorite. And Ryan, do you have those numbers for me?
Let's see. I'll pull it up. So Penn State is 7-1. They are 3-5 against the spread.
Yeah.
Washington's 5-4. They're 4-5 against the spread.
Yeah. So Penn State is a much better team than Washington. They've got pretty good, I mean, pretty elite offense and defense. Washington has a pretty good offense and defense. Washington is a flawed team in some ways, mostly because Jed Fish is sort of stupid, but James Franklin is also sort of stupid. So it's kind of, again, two stupid head coaches having a stupid off.
Are there any that are non-stupid? Like, there's a
yeah,
couple.
Dan Lanning.
Okay.
Land Danning is not stupid.
Okay.
Danny Killingham, not stupid.
That's true, yeah.
They're not stupid. But these two guys are kind of dumb. When last we saw Washington, they beat USC despite Jed Fish, as one of our reviewers told us.
Yes.
And when last we saw James Franklin, they were losing to Ohio State in large part because of James Franklin and stupid decisions, as that reviewer also told us.
This is a tough one for me.
It's a very tough one because Penn State, they just had a big, like, there is potential for hangover effect here.
Yeah.
They've generally, though, taken care of business against teams that are not named Ohio State and not named Michigan.
True, yeah. Tony says Washington can't win on the road. They have not. They're,
yeah, and Washington has had some bad moments on the road, too.
Yeah.
They lost to Rutgers, and that was already like a semi-broken Rutgers that they lost to.
Yeah.
They lost Indiana. They lost at Iowa by 24. I don't feel good about it, but I'll take Penn State.
Wow. Okay. I think I'm going to go with the Huskies here. It's a lot of points. I don't think they'll win on the road, but Penn State hasn't been good at covering spreads or, you know, beating teams the way they should. Maybe they want to come out.
Yeah.
And make a statement here. Yeah, we could see this be like steamroll thing where Penn State just gets on a roll. I mean, they were steamrolling Ohio State early. It was 10-0, and that was a pick six. But they didn't score an offensive touchdown in that game. Washington's pass defense is really good, but I could see Penn State doing the smart thing and just running the ball more. But they, you know, watching Washington up close, like they definitely were able to make a lot of big plays in the, you know, pass with pass defense. Warren, I think, could have a big game, but I think it might be him running the ball, wildcat stuff, like they're doing that. I think Penn State can have a bunch of success like that. But to me, it's a lot of points. You know, maybe they go out and win by 21 or something, but I'll take the points here and just see if Jed Fish can, you know, get the, if they're in it, you know, like this is either going to be, hey, they're in it. Maybe they lose at the end by 3 or 7 or something. Then that's kind of what I think is going to happen. What you're betting on basically is they're just not going to be in it. Like Penn State's just going to steamroll them. And,
yeah. I mean, I could also see something like a steady just kind of increase. I think Penn State's, they're going to lean on their running game again. They're going to lean on Tyler Warren. We know the MO of this Penn State offense at this point. They're not going to, I have a hard time just seeing them just explode for like a ton of points suddenly. It seems like they're kind of going to be a grinding team in a lot of ways. But I could see them grinding this Washington team. Washington's run defense isn't great.
Nope.
You can run on them, and they've got good running backs. They've got Nick Singleton. They've got Catron Allen and Tyler Warren when he's lining up in the Wildcat. I could see that flummoxing this Washington defense.
Potentially. Washington has outgained everybody except USC, and their road games weren't good times. Doug says, Washington playing an evening game instead of 9 a.m., give me the points.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a crazy environment, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we do this? Take a break, and we're going to do some questions when we get back. Nice. So our picks are in. We have, we're picking the Iowa UCLA game differently. We're picking and the Penn State Washington game differently. The other ones we have the same.
Mm-hmm.
So two, it was kind of like what we did last week, right? We had two.
Yeah. It's good to flip it a little bit.
So if you're in the chat and you have some questions for us, I don't think we've seen any in there, but I will, if you would to star them, I'll do my best to put them up on the screen. Thank you again. If you're watching us live on what I call a simulcast, and David says that is not the case. Whatever there. Let's see. I got this email to my USC football podcast, and I forwarded it over to the POC. So if you want to email us, big10cast@gmail.com. Spell out 10. But this is from Mark in Santa Monica. He says, the podcast of champion team drops are growing on me. I love them, Mark. And he says, I want more Zodiac Killer. He had two voicemails last week. It was like 5 minutes of Zodiac Killer.
I've heard a lot of people saying Zodiac Killer, he's like a third host.
He could be. You know?
Many people are saying it.
Here's a great idea. Why don't we have – we'll fly – like our friends over at the
– we'll send a car to him.
Yeah. The federal booby investigation.
Yeah,
investigators.
Just need that address.
Yeah, they will send you a car and fly you down to LAX and limo, maybe.
Yeah.
To come to the Redondo Beach Studios, and we would love to have you in.
You'll be driven in a very secure car.
Very secure. Yes. See, if you're watching on YouTube, there's a chair right there for the
right where the Zodiac killer can go.
Well, I mean the resident Rutgers fan.
Resident Rutgers fan.
Yes. You could sit right next to David.
Yeah.
It would be great to have a third host like that.
I'd love it.
Yes.
Yes.
And sometimes we even have like armed guards for us because it's a dangerous building.
Yeah.
So if you see that, that's what that is.
Well, we will send some highly secure cars and many people who will provide you with substantial security.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Because he's very popular.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Next up, we've got Dylan from Albuquerque.
I think so. Yeah.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think at this point, it's safe to say that the Zodiac Killer, resident Rutgers fan, is too busy killing like Cignetti, and he's stuck in his stubborn ways like Lincoln Riley. He will not be coming forward to provide his address for the Trader Joe's gift card. With this being where we are at in this investigation, I would like to come forward and volunteer myself to receive his gift card instead.
Oh.
We do not need Ryan hauling around gift cards on planes into tailgates and press boxes anymore. I know Ryan is in a real giving mood lately when it comes to these gift cards. He gave away three yesterday on his show after originally saying he'd only give away one. Mm. I have missed Trader Joe's incredibly priced center cut filet mignons, and $31 should just about cover a pound. Let me know if I should reply back to this email with my address, and I happily will. P.S. Very happy USC doesn't have a game this weekend, so I don't have to watch a $10 million man continue to destroy all I love, at least for this weekend. Given the bye week, the gift card will be here in time for me to cook these steaks during the next game against Nebraska to make the viewing experience just a little more tolerable. Fight on, I guess. Dylan from Albuquerque. Dylan, I have one request for you. Put this in a 5-star review.
Yeah, perfect.
Come on. Apple Podcasts. Get in there. 5-star review. Copy and paste this whole thing in there. I won't read it again, but it'll be there as a 5-star review. Then, who knows what could happen.
If we see it, we will send you a gift card.
That's right,
for
baby.
Sure. Love it. So thank you for that one, Dylan. And let's see. We got Ethan.
Mm-hmm.
He's in our nation's capital.
Ooh. Has Washington, D.C.
I'm not big into the politics.
Has there been
slow,
something that happened this week?
Seems like a slow,
slow
political week.
Slow week.
Strength of schedule. Fellas, lots of talk right now nationally about Indiana's strength of schedule and how they are underrated, obviously underrated, Cignetti. And how they are underrating, I think, obviously underrating Cignetti kills. That being said, wonder if you can pontificate a little bit about Big Ten schedules and how that has affected overall records this year. For example, UCLA is sixth in ESPN's strength of schedule rankings, whereas Minnesota is 78th. Where would UCLA be if they had Minnesota's schedule or Rutgers' schedule? Keep it mediocre, Ethan and DC.
Okay. So I don't – it's hard to do this. All right. So if UCLA in its first game played North Carolina instead of Hawaii, they would have lost. If they'd played Rhode Island, they would have won. If they played Nevada, they would have won. If they'd played Iowa in the fourth game, they would have lost the same way Minnesota did.
Yeah.
If they played at Michigan in the fifth week, they probably would have lost the same way Minnesota did. If they played USC in week six, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Because UCLA was getting better.
Yeah. And if UCLA had to go at Minnesota like Minnesota had to go at UCLA, I don't know. Maryland at home, probably a win. At Illinois, probably a win at the current level that Illinois is. So I think they'd be at a pretty similar record, honestly. Like, I don't think it would be wholly dissimilar from where they are. A better way to think about this is kind of what's your dominance against your schedule? Like, should you be winning more than you are? Like, second order wins. I was talking to Ryan about this before show, but like, you know, based on those post game win expectancies I'm always talking about, like, what should you have done? Like, what should be your record right now? And like, the teams that are unlucky are like, USC is pretty unlucky. They should have something like 5.6 wins right now. They have four. You know, they've played a lot of close games. They've been on the wrong side of two coin flips. You know, that happens. On the lucky side of things, as far as the Big Ten goes, Illinois should have probably 4.5 wins right now. They have six. But there's a lot of teams in the middle. Like, UCLA right now is about where it should be. They're only like 0.1 wins over their expected total at this point in the year. You know, most teams are trending towards the middle. Indiana, for one example, they're beating the hell out of the teams they play.
Yeah.
They're only 0.2 over where they should be. They should have 8.8 wins, and they have 9. But that means they're dominating the schedule before them. And that's all you can really ask when you're talking about, like, who's good, who's bad. If you're crushing the teams that are on your schedule, you're probably pretty good. Now, we're going to see Indiana. We're going to get a much better idea of how they stack up as a playoff team when they play Ohio State. But I think everyone can feel safe in saying Indiana's really good.
Yes.
Now, whether they're a top five team or just a top 12 team is the kind of question we have. But they're really good. They're a no. Like, at this point, it would be an upset for them not to make the college football playoff.
I agree. And I think there's been a lot of talk. I mean, but what Indiana does is, this isn't a smoke and mirrors thing. They are taking everyone in their path and destroying them. It's like a tornado. So I think that I didn't like the initial committee rankings, whereas Indiana's like eighth or something, or yeah, nine, I forget what it is. It pretty much matches the AP poll, which everyone's been kind of slow. Vegas has been kind of slow. The fact that they're 8-1 against the spread tells you, okay, they're taking care of business. And unfortunately, it'll probably come down to how well do you play against Ohio State. So I think as long as you keep it close against Ohio State and you're 11-1, they're in. Like, they're, I don't think there's going to be a problem. Like, there's some people talking like, ah, will they get in? I'm like, yes, they're getting in. Like, they're murdering everyone. So
if they're 11-1, there is a 0% chance they're missing it.
Yeah, people have talked about it though. Like, well, because who's their big win and blah blah blah. And it's like, I mean, they're killing everybody. They took a Big Ten conference and
killing this year's Nebraska team by 49 is insane.
Yeah,
like, that's okay. Yeah, they haven't played an elite team. The next elite team will be Ohio State, and that'll be the only one, right? Unless they win that one, and if they win that one, you know what? They'll get another game against Oregon because they'll be playing for the Big Ten championship.
Yeah,
this was a 3-9 team last year. So anyway, they're gonna finish at worst 11-1. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I get it. Like, people are going to talk about it. It's the first week of the rankings. I don't know if you want to mention them at all or anything, but
No, I mean, they're It's stupid at this point.
Yeah, not a big fan of them, whatever.
No.
The power rankings are what matters.
The power rankings are all
Indiana's
that
number two.
Correct.
The Big Ten will get like 3-4 teams in there at least. So, yeah. Indiana, I think Indiana's in, barring a loss outside of Ohio State.
I mean, it'll be. I think I would be pretty surprised right now if Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State don't all make it.
Yeah, I think all. I think all of them,
and Penn State. Sorry, yeah. If all four don't make it, I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah, Iowa's got three losses, right? Because that Iowa State loss, I think, probably is going to hurt them.
Iowa has no chance.
Yeah, but I think those top four, our top four in the power rankings, should all be in with James Franklin. It's unfortunate for him because he's getting a lot of flack and people are saying, you know, what's it? But this is what, you know, if you're a 10-2 team, you'd have made the playoffs a lot. And Penn State's just kind of like a 10-2 team that's probably going to make the playoffs like that. Now, will you make any moves? Will you, like, you know, will it? Well, I mean, maybe you get an upset on the road or something in the first round of the playoffs. Like, that would be massive. But I think Penn State will be in there, barring something crazy. But it's not where you wanted them to be. You wanted to get one of those big wins, and they just haven't been able to do it yet.
No.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Do we have anything else?
No, I think that's all for us.
The rankings, did you have any, like...
Overall thoughts from, like, what they... like, the other teams and stuff?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean...
So just from the Big Ten, Oregon's one and Ohio State's two. So that's good for the conference. Penn State's down at six.
I mean, having Indiana below Penn State is silly.
Indiana's, you know, and you know, they're 9-0. They're below Tennessee. So Indiana's eight.
Yeah.
Going down there. Yeah. So then there's
Boise State looks like it's got the G5 nom at this point, which makes sense. Alabama being in is stupid, but I guess they just have to do that. It's probably contractual obligation. Otherwise, I mean, no, I mean, it's the teams that I would have expected to be in there. It's just the order that, you know, and I don't really have any grand thoughts about, like, you know, is it better to be the five than the four and all that kind of stuff?
I think it's definitely better to be the five than the four, but yeah.
I mean, you have to play one more game.
You do. But the five, you're going to play the 12, which is, could be like the group of five champion. Now this year, it might not
matter. You
have
to play one more football game though.
You do. And it's going to be at home. Against the worst team, and then you get to play your second.
Do you think Oregon wants to play Boise State again?
Probably not, but they're not. They're one.
No, like, no. My point is, do you think any team below Oregon wants to play Boise State? You think that's going to be a fun time for anybody?
No, I don't think that will be that fun. But if you can win that game at home, then you get the worst Group of Five champion, which they could be, you know, ranked 10th or something. So you're the five, and you get to play someone.
Well, Boise State right now, I mean, we'll see what it ends up being, but yeah. They are the 12 as well as the best G5.
Yes.
So they would be both. So who would you then get if you're the 5 beating the 12?
Then you'd get like the Big 12 champ.
So you got to play Boise State, then BYU back to back?
Yeah. Well,
this doesn't sound like a good time. I would not add a game. I would rather be the 4.
Okay. It depends how it goes, too. Like if BYU is undefeated and you're playing like a 11-1 Boise or 12-1 Boise and then a 13-0 BYU, yeah, that's probably not the best path. But a lot of times, you know, that might be, you might be playing like the 16th ranked team and the 12th ranked team.
Yeah.
You know, and but this year that might be different. So we'll see how it plays out if BYU ends up sticking undefeated. But because we could see if the Big 12 beats itself up, we could see Boise jump ahead and they could be the number 4 seed. So then you would play like the Big 12 champ in the first round, which, you know, that's not, you don't want to play a Power 4 champ in the first round, but you get to play them at home and they probably have two losses or something at this point. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think it's cool. You know, this, you weren't sure if it was going to like F up the regular season or anything. See you, Griffin. It was Griffin, right?
Griffin.
Yeah. But this, I think it's enhanced it. And it's kind of weird because it's a combination of the expansion of not just the playoff, but these conferences. So the fact that we got Oregon, Ohio State, and we got, you know, Georgia at Texas, we got a lot of cool games that still mattered. And they were big games. And that, it didn't, I don't think it took away from how big those games are. And now it's sort of like, okay, how's this going to play out? So I think it's enhanced things. I don't know if you think it has, but.
No, I think it's really stupid.
I know. Get it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, basically, I think it's it continues to devalue the regular season. Like Alabama, two losses is going to have a chance because they've got, you know, the SEC behind them and
they're Alabama.
Well, they got a ton of talent, so they're going to have a chance to win this thing, even though they haven't been impressive in the regular season. It allows a team to get hot, like Alabama, at the end of a year, in the way that, like, kind of, sort of, the NCAA tournament works. But the thing is, unlike the NCAA tournament, it's not going to ever be a mid-major getting hot at the end of the season. It's going to be one of the elite teams in the country that was really disappointing to start the year is going to, you know, be able to win it all. And that's just... I don't know. The end result of the playoff is I think there's going to be even more concentration of championships in,
you think,
essentially the SEC.
Oh, well, we'll see. They got LSU this weekend, and it's kind of like an elimination game for the playoffs. So who knows? Maybe LSU knocks them off, and then, but I don't know. It's been fun for me. Hopefully, people are enjoying
you
it.
You love it.
Even like the teams we cover aren't in it. I mean, it's good that we have.
Teams we cover in it.
No, I mean, for this, we have the number one and number two teams in the country, which is cool to see, you know, what's going on there. I guess Georgia could have been too, and it'll probably all move. But it's been really interesting.
Well, it's more stuff to talk about. Yes. It's more than four teams. So it's more, you know, kind of, you know, more punditry that can be allowed. So I guess that's, you know, it adds to the college football ecosystem a little bit more.
Yeah, we can end the show with Eric saying quack.
Quack. This was a duck-heavy show.
There was a lot of duck.
A lot of this. Duck.
Yeah. I do like duck. Duck does taste good. Like, there's a little foie gras. I haven't had it for a while. Mm. Good stuff. Okay, well, that's going to wrap things up. You want to do a pose? How should we do it?
Oh, God. What do you want to do?
It's like a slow week, or I'm not sure. Like, is there anything... We could like hold our like earphones out.
Like a political thing?
Or you would? Oh, you want to do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. A political thing. I like it. Because you love presidents so much.
They're all so good. Every single one of them should be in prison.
I like. All right. For David Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.